Looks like we have a quorum. I just wanted to introduce myself. Good afternoon. My name is Mayor Joe Bica with the City of Ravenna, and I'll be sitting in as the chair today. The first item on the agenda would be delegations. Do we have any delegations here that would like to speak to the committee?
We do have one member of the public that indicated that she wished to address the committee for 5 minutes, and that's Ms. Victoria Sabino from Citizens for a Better Montrose. So the floor is yours, Ms. Sabino.
Thank you very much. My name is Victoria Sabino. I live at 3800 Rosemont Boulevard in Fairmont, Ohio. I'm also a member of the Citizens for a Better Montrose, which I now know should have been called the Citizens to Save Montrose. Since I remember Montrose when there was just an ice cream stand, a swim club, and a country club, and I don't want it to end up like Rolling Acres. I would like to ask everyone in this room if you or anyone you know would want a development of this magnitude that covers every inch of 40 acres of undeveloped land across from their residential neighborhood on a two-lane road, knowing Walmart and Sam's Club are only moving 1 mile and destroying wetlands, a stream, wildlife habitat, and your quality of life in the process. This development will ruin the quality of life and lower the property values of more than 715 addresses in the Rock Rock area alone, so Walmart and Sam's Club can move 1 mile so they can add a grocery store, a gas station, which everyone knows we do not need. We would have to put up a constant barrage of noise and air pollution from semis, delivery trucks, cars, buses, armored trucks, trash trucks all night long. We are also worried about the crime that is associated with the Walmart stores, especially the stores that are open 24/7. It has been proven that this type of development would also lower the property values of the surrounding buildings in Montrose. If you were to read the copy zoning laws for C4 commercial, you would find that this development falls under C4 zoning, not the C3 zoning they are trying to use. The C4 zoning includes stores the size of Home Depot, JCPenney, Staples, Levin Furniture, and therefore Walmart and Sam's Club. I am also worried about the gradual decline and or destruction of Montrose because Jason Klippa said Walmart wants a one-stop shopping feature. He also said they wanted to stay in the retail corridor. Rosemont Commons is in the retail corridor. Rock Rock Road is not. Since Walmart's goal is to crush the competition, according to its officials, I give them credit for their strategy. They plan on building a one-stop shopping facility with groceries, a gas station, and Sam's Club away from the retail corridor on a two-lane road with one ingress and one egress. Instead of Walmart spending $35 million to build a new store, they should use that money to hire full-time employees instead of part-time employees and give them health care benefits instead of the taxpayers paying for their health care and welfare. Larry Levy mentioned many of the jobs being managerial jobs. How many managers does it take to run a Sam's Club and a Walmart? Do they need so many because they are part-time? So instead of adding full-time jobs, they will cause employees at other businesses to lose their full-time jobs after they put them out of business. Besides putting their competition out of business, they will destroy the restaurants and other smaller businesses in the area because of the traffic congestion. It is a two-lane road incapable of handling all the traffic. Everyone, and I mean everyone I talk to, says they can't believe they would build this on Rock Rock Road because there is already too much traffic in the area. So why is it everyone who lives, drives, works, shops, and eats in this area knows Montrose can't handle the traffic now, but the entities are still talking about it, even after the extensive AMAT study that was completed in August of 2010. This study showed it would cost at least $7 million for improvements needed. So why have the entities instead continued spending taxpayers' money on studies when the money isn't available for improvements? The taxpayers cannot and will not pay for road improvements so Walmart and Sam's Club can move 1 mile. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that whatever or however they think they're going to improve the roads in Montrose, they are not going to be able to handle a development of this size outside of the retail corridor of Montrose on a two-lane road. Since LRC tried to push this development through without including the choke points of Route 77 and Figley-Massel Road, or the loop where Route 77 and 21 intersect with Route 18 east and west, it's inconceivable to me how they expect the expressway and Route 18 to handle any more traffic since it can't handle the traffic there now. LRC also failed to mention all the additional traffic that will be on South Cleveland-Massillon Road since the people that now use Rothrock Road as a cut-through would want to avoid the Walmart traffic. I know that some county engineers are waiting for a new traffic study now that Rosemont Boulevard has been closed. Did they also include the three-month holiday traffic and the additional traffic in if and when Macaroni Grill reopens? As if this traffic wasn't enough, we know from attending the Copley Township trustee meeting that LRC plans on building more big box stores on Rothrock Road from Rosemont Boulevard to Copley Place. Was this included in the traffic study? This is an excerpt from the Akron Beacon Journal on February 5th from the Copley Township trustees meeting on February 2nd. Trustees decided this week to delay a decision over whether large retail developments would require a conditional use permit or just be allowed as long as the property is properly zoned. We strongly oppose making large retail a conditional use, said Mark Majeski of North Star Planning and Design. He represents LRC Development, in case you didn't know. Majeski said requiring this additional step of acquiring a conditional use permit would seriously impact on the value to the property. The private planner said there is already ample opportunity in place for review of large developments in the community. Okay, the proposed changes would affect any commercial development that would be larger than 35,000 square feet. I do have more about them trying to define a gas station as permitted use instead of conditional use for the same reasons. And this is also not in the best interest of the area because of the runoff of spilled gasoline, motor oil, antifreeze, and toxic chemicals that wind up in wetlands, as stated on page 29 of the Amex study. I do want to thank Mayor Roth and Fairlawn City officials for taking a firm stand to protect the residents and neighborhoods in Fairlawn by closing Rosemont Boulevard. By taking a stand, they are also protecting the people who live, drive, work, eat, and shop in Montrose and the surrounding area. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. I know our director has some comments on this current situation. I'd also like to open up to the floor for any comments or questions.
Because this was on the agenda several months ago, and you may recall the report the staff had put out back in August that Ms. Sabino referenced. We continue as a staff, I think, to have concerns about specifically the traffic impacts of the development proposal. And because Mayor Roth had proposed cul-de-sacking Rothrock Road, if you're familiar with the area, Rosemont Boulevard, which runs between Cleveland, Massillon, and Rothrock, that has been closed to through traffic. Rothrock isn't yet, but we are a bit concerned about, we were concerned about the traffic impacts to begin with. I think if Rothrock Road actually becomes cul-de-sac, we're very concerned about the traffic impacts, and we may be doing some analysis internally to look at what the traffic impacts of that would be and may bring that back to this committee at the next meeting. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on where we were, and then as Mayor Bika said, I'll turn it back to him if there's any comments from the floor.
Are there any comments?
If I may, City of Palmage, we are a recipient of a big box Walmart, County Road 18, that heads into the Potomac Circle. When they put this out there at the expressway, thank goodness we have the expressway to alleviate the traffic. But the folks coming on the County Road 18 and Palmage cannot get out of the side streets anymore. The road backing up at the circle on East Avenue there, out by the tracks, is very backed up. Now I'm being asked by residents to put three lanes in, some turning lanes, so people can get in and out of their areas. They want traffic lights on roads that will not get a traffic warning. So I think we have to be careful what we're doing on Rock Rock Road.
So any other comments? Next item on the agenda is the meeting minutes. You've all received a copy of the meeting minutes from January 26, 2011. Are there any changes or modifications to those meeting minutes?
It doesn't show me attendance.
Oh, it doesn't show that you attended?
No, it doesn't.
We'll correct the minutes
like
to reflect.
For being.
Yeah, I'm going to check now.
Are there any other changes or modifications? The chair will entertain a motion to pass the meeting minutes with the changes.
I move to approve the minutes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Number three on the agenda would be staff reports, financial progress reports from our director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A financial progress report was included as attachment 3A in the folders at the door. Most of you, I think, are familiar with this report. It just shows each of the staff activities broken down by our work items and how much money has been expended year to date. Year to date through the fiscal year, which runs July 1st through June 30th, we are two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year, and we've expended 54% of the budget, so we are well within budget, and I would ask for you to entertain a motion to approve this report.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Seeing a motion and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. B, technical progress report, also from the director.
Hey, thanks again. As is typical, I'll try to refrain from items that you'll hear about later on the agenda, but a couple things to bring to your attention. First of which is we mentioned a couple meetings ago we were going to start to get more involved with putting together a bike plan for the region this summer and spring, and as a prelude to that, we have scheduled a public meeting on April 13th at the Highland Square Library in Akron to discuss cycling with residents to see both from a perspective of road improvements such as bike lanes, also for the trail infrastructure in the area like the towpath that is growing every year, to get input toward our bike plan. And we're going to have another similar meeting in Kent toward the end of April to discuss that. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, and if you have questions or suggestions on anything having to do with cycling, please feel free to contact me or my staff. Another item that's happened since our last meeting is the 2010 census results were released for our region, the 12 county Cleveland, Akron, Canton, Youngstown region, kind of the Northeast Ohio in general, did not fare very well. Those 12 counties collectively lost 100,000 residents. As some of our central cities, Akron dropped below 200,000 residents, Cleveland dropped below 400,000 residents. This is really, I think, the numbers were worse than expected, and I think that's, you know, an issue of concern to all of us just as we're trying to rebuild the economy in this region and develop economically and kind of try to get back on track. So staff will probably continue to do some analysis of those census numbers as they become available, and we may be getting some maps out to you and things like that. And if we do have a pretty good geographic information system, if you do have any census analysis you'd like us to perform on your behalf, we've got the capacity to do that. So please feel free to ask us. The traffic counting season is going to be getting underway soon. Again, if you have any areas you'd like to see traffic counts performed on, we would be glad to do that. We'll probably start counting toward the end of April or early May. Another issue that you might be interested in, back in the fall, we adopted a memorandum of understanding as AMATS to kind of go in with our neighboring metropolitan planning organizations to apply for a grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to look at doing a kind of regional plan for sustainability in Northeast Ohio. We did receive that grant collectively back in October. We were awarded that, and presently I was made the vice chairman of that effort, and I've been working with the group of people from Cleveland and our area, Youngstown and Canton. Mayor Lyons also has been involved with that, Mayor Curran, to kind of look at a sustainability plan for our region. And right now it's all kind of vague, but I think as we develop that effort and kind of scope out what we're going to be studying collectively, we'll bring reports back to this committee. And if you're interested in getting involved with the effort or have questions, please feel free to give me a call, and I can give you a lot more detail, probably more than you would ever want to know. I did put an agenda item later on the agenda to talk about the sale of the Ohio Turnpike. I thought that was important that we at least get the group's opinion, if there is one, on that proposal. I wanted to mention that in Kent, I think on April 4th, there's going to be a groundbreaking for the Kent Central Gateway project, which is part of his new transit center. I believe that's at 11 o'clock. You could definitely, I think, contact Rick Bissler from Pardo or myself, and we could give you more information on that. And then the last piece of information for you is there continues to be talk about a new transportation bill in Washington, the latest proposal from the Obama administration's for a $550 billion bill, which is about twice the size of the last bill. And as we talked about on our whole discussion about the gas tax, there's absolutely no serious proposal how to pay for that bill out there right now. So I think it's going to be sitting in Congress for at least another year would be my guess, but I could be wrong about that. And with that, if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer those.
Thank you, Jerry.
If there are no questions, we'll move on to item C, the status of the AMETS sub-allocated federal funds. presentation from Mr. Bosin.
Thank you. I'll be referring to the big table that was in the folders at the door, our funding program and balances table. Not too much to report, it changed from last time, other than we did have the project review meeting in early March, and based on that meeting, we've seen some of the projects have been shifted around, and those changes have been made to the projects, mainly for ones that were listed in 12 through 15, and that reflects in the new TIP, which is the next slide. Then just looking down at the bottom of that table, you can see what our balances are. At the end of 2015, we have the overall balance of about $7.5 million. And that's all I have on this item. Anybody have any questions?
If there are no questions, we'll move on to old business. Item A is the second draft for the fiscal year 2012 to 2015 Transportation Improvement Program project lists. Again, Mr. Bogan.
Thank you. Back in January, the first draft of the projects that are to be listed in the new TIP for fiscal years 2012 through 2015 was presented to this committee and approved. Since that time, we submitted it. That and a partial draft of the complete of the TIP document to ODOT. Since then, there's been some updates to that list, both from ODOT and other project sponsors, and those changes are reflected in the attached list that you have with this item. We're completing the TIP draft document, which is the whole document, including these listings. And that will be up on our website probably as early as next week, so you can take a look at that. And that draft will then be used as part of a two-week public involvement period, which will cover the first 2 full weeks of April. Within that time frame, on April 5th in the evening, the Stowe Safety Building, we will have a meeting at 7 o'clock, a public meeting, to review the TIP. And then any comments from that meeting or any comments we get over the next 2 weeks or so will then incorporate into the final draft. And then at that time, hopefully in May, when we plan to in May, then submit the draft TIP document to this committee for approval. And then it'll go on to Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administration for approval. And that new TIP for fiscal year 12 through 15 will then become active starting July 1st. So if you have any general questions about the TIP, I'll be happy to answer those. If you have any specific questions about the projects, you can see me after.
Any questions? Comments? The chair will entertain a motion for the second draft.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Item 5, new business. Item A, 2010 existing congestion study.
This congestion study is the initial step in the development of our next regional transportation plan. The study evaluates congestion management network roadways and intersections, and is divided into three sections, which are freeway, arterials, and intersections. We analyzed 165 miles of freeway, and we divided those miles into 196 individual segments by direction. Out of those 196 segments, 74 of those segments were identified as congested. None of them were identified as level of service F. Six operated at level of service E. 68 operated at level of service D. This is an improvement from our previous study where we had 92 congested segments as opposed to the 74 we have this time. These are our level of service E locations. Since we had no level of service F locations, these are the only six that we had, which are 77 from Wheatley Road to 271 northbound, 76 eastbound from the Central Interchange, 76 eastbound from the North Kenmore Expressway to 76, which is on the north end. 77 northbound from Archwood to State Route 8, 76 westbound through the Central Interchange, and 76 westbound from 7677 to the South Kenmore Lake, South Kenmore Expressway. Which you can see, the east and westbound here from the Central, and then the other E's are over here, and the final one's over here at the top. Sorry, our pointer's not working. So. We also had a comment at TAC. If you look at this map, it's kind of hard to see. This is just a TAC. If you look at this map, we do have a section of the Central from the Central Interchange to the west. You can kind of see it on here. You can see it in your reports easier. We have a segment that is not labeled as congested with our basic analysis, and that is from Main Broadway to the Central Interchange. Now, if anybody's ever drove through that section, you know this really isn't the case. So, we had a comment from one of our TAC members that maybe we should try to reevaluate this and see if we can get a little more detailed information on it. So then we proceeded to try to do a weave analysis in this area. A weave analysis is basically, you can see the diagram, basically it takes the on-ramp and the off-ramp and it analyzes that crossover pattern and how much that really slows traffic up, for those of you that are unaware of that. We did a weave analysis for the two segments between Main Broadway and Grand Wolf Ledges, both in the east and westbound direction, and that came up as a level of service F. It's failing, it's gridlock. In the morning and the afternoon, it's just really, really, really bad. From Grand Wolf Ledges to the Central Interchange, the eastbound and westbound direction, we did the same sort of analysis, and it came up as a level of service E. So we do indeed do have a problem out there, but it is a weaving problem, and it doesn't really show up on your basic segment analysis. After we looked at this, we also looked at maybe possibly analyzing some other areas that we believe to have similar weaving problems, and this is the list that we came up with. We believe that these intersections or these interchanges are closely spaced and may actually result in similar results, but we did not have time to analyze them Moving on to the arterial analysis, we have 375 miles of arterials that we analyzed, and we divided those into 592 segments. 45 of those segments were labeled as congested, 1 level of service F, 5 at E, and 3 at D. In our previous study, we had 65 congested segments, so this number has reduced. Our level of service E and F locations are State Route 14 from 303 to Westlake to 43 in Streetsboro, Summit Street from Campus Center to Loop, 18 from Crystal Lake to I-77, 43 from Aurora Hudson Road to 303, Cleveland Maslin from Norton to I-76 westbound ramps, and 241 from Rayburn to 619. And here is a map of our congested segments, similar to our freeway segments. For intersections, we analyzed 35 intersections. 22 intersections were labeled as congested. This may seem like a high percentage of our intersections, but please keep in mind that the intersections that we analyzed were looking for the most congested intersections. So we're starting with the ones we think are the worst and then going from there. 3 of these operate at over capacity, which is similar to a level of service F. 4 operate at capacity, which is similar to level of service E. 15 operate near capacity, which is similar to a level of service D. Previous study, we had 26 congested intersections, so this number has decreased. Also, in our previous study, we actually analyzed 38 intersections. We have reduced the number to 35 because 3 of our intersections could not be analyzed this time. One of our intersections actually became a roundabout, which was 261 Howe and North Monroe, so we can't analyze it as an intersection. There's no signal there. The other two are State Route 8 and Highland. It was under construction, and after the construction's completed, we have no idea what the congestion is going to look like, and we have no counts to base it on. The other intersection is 43 Fairchild and Crane. Once again, under construction, we cannot analyze it at this time. These are the intersections that are at capacity and over capacity. The first 3 are over capacity, the last 4 are at capacity. And these are the intersections on the map. One comment I'd like to make, we'd like to change this report, basically take one dot off the map. One of these intersections was actually analyzed before the project was completed. The project has since been completed, and that's at Arlington and 619. The project was actually completed this previous December, and it wasn't reanalyzed after the project was completed. So basically, we'd like to remove that little green dot on 619 in Arlington, and we've reanalyzed the intersection with the new lane configurations, and it drops off this table. So our next steps, our future highway congestion study report is next, which the future and the existing congestion study both go into the congestion management report, and the congestion management report is one of the reports that goes into the plan. Questions? Yes, Jason?
I just wanted to kind of reiterate one thing you said, Amy, just for what we're going to be asking from everybody. Amy mentioned the weave analysis on the freeways, and basically the purpose of why we made some changes to the report is our typical analysis of freeway congestion, we're looking at it almost as a 30,000-foot view where we basically compare the number of lanes to the traffic volumes, and it's a pretty high-level analysis. It doesn't really get into the fine nuances of what happens when you have ramps spaced close together. So what we would be asking today is for your approval of the report as written, with the understanding that we're going to go back and do the analysis of these closely spaced interchanges, and then we would come out with a final report that we would get out to all of you and put on the website, if that's acceptable.
And the change on Arlington.
Yes.
Okay.
there are no other questions, the chair will entertain a motion to accept the study.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Move on to item number six, resolutions. We have three resolutions today. A, resolution 2011-05, approving amendment number 52 to the Transportation Improvement Program for the years 2008 through 2011 to add new projects. This would be attachment 6A.
Thank you. There are six new projects to add. The first three are Portage County. They're system preservation projects, either resurfacing or rehabilitation. The first one's on State Routes 14 and 225. The next one's on Interstate 76. And the third one is on State Route 303. The next project is on Graham Road. This project's ahead of schedule, and they requested to move the right-of-way phase into fiscal year 2011. And the last two are resurfacing projects in Cuyahoga Falls. Those are ahead of schedule and also being also asking to move the funds into 2011 to sell that project by July 1st. And the staff recommends approval.
Are there any questions? Chair, entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Resolution passes. Item B, resolution 2011-06, approving amendment number 53 to the Transportation Improvement Program for the years 2008 through 2011 to add buses for Metro. This will be attachment 6B.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A request has been made by Metro to move the purchase of four large CNG buses from fiscal year 2015 to fiscal year 2011. This purchase will use AMATS attributable CMAC funds and was originally approved in last March in 2010. It was scheduled, as I said, to appear in the 2015 TIP. Metro has requested that this purchase be moved to the current fiscal year TIP, and we find this would be mutually beneficial, and that would provide Metro with four buses that would benefit its current operations, and it would prevent AMATS from necessitating a large carryover in our CMAC funds into the next fiscal year. This project would receive 80% federal funding for a total of $1.44 million. I'm sorry, local funding would be federal funding $1.44 million. The total project cost would be $1.8 million. The staff recommends approval, and I'd be happy to ask it or answer any questions you might have.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Abstain.
Resolution 2011-06 passed. Item C, resolution 2011-07, approving amendment to number 54 to the Transportation Improvement Program for the years 2008 through 2011 to add funds for miscellaneous equipment for PARTA. This will be attachment 6C.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. In February, PARTA requested that section 5307 funds be added to the fiscal year 2011 TIP for the purchase of miscellaneous equipment. These funds would be used to purchase office furniture and similar related capital equipment to be used in the PARTA administration building. The total amount of the funding would be $100,000 with an 80% federal share of $80,000. To offset this $100,000, PARTA has also requested a reduction in their fiscal year 2011 preventive maintenance funds. And with the passing of this resolution, reducing the previously programmed amount by $100,000. There's a second part to this amendment. And at the January 2011 Policy Committee meeting, we approved a resolution to begin an innovative new service arts transit service for PARTA. This would have involved a new transit line running from Ravenna to Twinsburg via Streetsboro. Since that last meeting and the passing of that resolution, ODOT has rescinded the funding for that program as part of their new statewide reprioritization initiative. As a result of the cancellation of these funds, PART is requesting that we remove those funds, which were approved for fiscal year 2011 from the TIP. The staff recommends approval of this amendment as well, and I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding to either of those parts of this amendment.
Yes, ma'am.
The reduction of the preventative maintenance of $100,000, are they not doing the preventative maintenance, or do I not understand it?
I forget the total amount of preventive maintenance. There is a much larger amount of that program than this year, 2011 TIF. $100,000 they'd be reducing by, if I recall, it's almost maybe one-third of the budget, something like that. So there's still a large amount in there for preventive maintenance. I'm not sure if they were over budget in that area or anything, but speaking with Brian Smith, the planning director at PARTA, they felt comfortable with the amount they still have remaining for that amount and felt this purchase was important.
Yes. Is the furniture all leather?
I don't have specific details.
Is anybody here from PARTA?
Yes, sir.
Do you know how much furniture you plan on getting?
Actually, no. I know that they've talked about redoing the boardroom, but I don't know what all is involved. We'd also open the training centers, but I don't know exactly what they're doing.
I know office furniture is real expensive, and probably refitting the whole place. You don't even know that, huh? Have to be tested.
They threw me under the bus. Pardon.
All right. I don't have any other questions.
Are there comment, any other comments or questions? Next line.
It's just hard to think about $100,000 going to an office when we have a lot of roads that are falling apart. We get our new budget out of Columbus and we're all hurting. And see preventative maintenance being lowered, and maybe they are doing a good job at preventative maintenance. I'd rather see more preventative maintenance and less furniture. We're all struggling in that area. They probably need it. I don't know. It's a little difficult time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Furniture for the new building?
No.
No.
It's
not?
Nope.
It's not yet.
Can we delay action on this until we get more information?
Motion to fail. Second.
There's a motion on the floor to table. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion has been tabled. Or resolution has been tabled. Yes. Item number 7, other business, discussion regarding the lease of the Ohio Turnpike. Our director has some comments.
Yes, just wanted to bring your attention, at least bring to your attention and give you the opportunity, if you wish to discuss at any further length, the proposal by the new administration in Columbus to look into either leasing or selling the Ohio Turnpike. And you might remember this was an issue in the 2006 gubernatorial campaign where Ken Blackwell had proposed perhaps doing this. I believe former Governor Strickland was opposed, and it didn't really go anywhere. This kind of thing has been done in other states. I think the Chicago Skyway, which is a toll road in Chicago, has been leased to a private corporation. I think the same thing happened with the Indiana Toll Road, which connects to the Ohio Turnpike. It's I-80 and 90. So I know Governor Kasich was interested in the discussions of the state budget of looking into the possibility of either leasing or selling the road. Basically, the reason to do it, the administration's arguing, is this would provide possibly up to $3 billion of cash that could be used by the state. It's not clear whether it would go toward the transportation budget or it would be used to balance the budget. I don't think they have a lot of details yet. So that's the upside. The downside is the state would be selling off a revenue-producing asset for, you know, the foreseeable future. I think the lease in Indiana is like 99 years, so it's a pretty long time. I thought it would be relevant to at least discuss it at this meeting and see if you had any opinions one way or the other, because it does have some ramifications potentially on both Summit and Portage County. We've got 4 turnpike interchanges, 2 in Summit County, 2 in Portage County. There's always the possibility, most likely the experience when these toll roads are leased, as the tolls go up, that's going to cause the public to pay more in tolls. It probably will have ramifications on the trucking industry where, for short hauls at least, trucks may consider rerouting to adjacent non-toll routes. So it could have that effect on our region. Our sister agency in Cleveland, NOAACA, did some analysis. I believe you all received an electronic version of their analysis that I sent out about a week and a half ago. Nobody has a whole lot of details on this. I mean, my gut reaction, if you wanted to know my opinion, was it would be a large infusion of cash now. I do worry that once the asset's gone, it's gone. I personally think maybe we should even consider looking into tolling other roads in the state with this transportation revenue problem we're having right now. But that's just my opinion. But I wanted to basically turn it over to the chairman now. If there were to be a discussion, I guess my question for all of you is just, do you feel like AMAT should be doing anything to weigh in on this issue? I honestly don't know how much anything that we might do would have an effect on the discussions in Columbus, but you are all elected officials, and I think giving you the opportunity to weigh in on the proposal at least is important. So with that, I'll turn it back to the chairman if you'd like to have a discussion.
I'd like to open up for discussion. I just had one comment that the potential is there. This is no different than selling timber on public land. It's an infusion of cash, potentially. But once the asset is gone, it's gone. Are there any other comments? Mayor?
One of my kids commutes on the turnpike, so I had to get the easy pass. A buddy of mine in the fire department told me to buy the easy pass from PA because they don't charge the fee. So I got it from PA. It doesn't make any difference in the total because the total at the easy pass is 25% lower. A lot of people didn't know that. They don't broadcast that. Now they brought them up to par. I don't have the turnpike passing through our community, but it's very close. And my question is, if the turnpike becomes private, is it a tax one empty at that point? Municipality goes for that. Because I know it goes for your area, doesn't it, Bill?
It does.
And I didn't know that, but I can answer that question. What the experience of Indiana? I know in the East, if you go anywhere on 95, it's all toll. But that easy pass works. That was just my lumbering schedule.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to chime in on this. I think what the governor is proposing is a lease, not necessarily a sale. Before I think that we as a body weigh in, have information on what has been the experience of others who have done it, what have they found the benefits, what have they found the hardships, and that whatever lease is there, that there are certain expectations that are put in as far as service, maintenance, utilization, ranges of cost that might be added to it, as well as a clawback provision if certain standards aren't met. I think it's worthy of an asset as valuable as the Ohio Turnpike is concerned. And what jurisdiction does the state of Ohio have if they were requesting replacement or additional exits, if you will, with our continued seems unbridled sprawl. Seems like that may be a necessity on the top turnpike as well as other byways. But those are questions that have to be answered before this body should. And I know, Jason, you sent that along from the WACA, but if you could, do an executive summary with that, would be very helpful. So those would be my beginning questions.
My question, just for clarification, who has the authority to make this decision?
I think it would have to, I'm not an expert on this, but I think it would have to be approved by the state legislature.
So it would be in the legislature.
Because it was being discussed as part of the budget, but I know it wasn't included in the final budget proposal, but it was an issue thrown out there with the budget, I think, to be discussed later.
Yes, Mayor.
I agree. I expect it would have to go through the General Assembly. I agree with Mayor Curran that there is experience out there that we can look to in terms of what's been their track record versus ours. Obviously, the state's facing an $8 billion deficit. And as you look around the county, the counties, no one wants to give up anything. And the reality is we probably all have to give up something. There's certainly a sense that we can't trust the private sector to take over this entity because they're going to jack up fees extraordinarily. I would remind everybody that when the turnpike was built, fees were supposed to end, 15 years ago or something?
At least
15 years ago, maybe longer. So I'm not sure we can trust the public sector any more than we can trust the private sector. But I agree with Mayor Curran. I think we need more information, Jason, before we can really chime in too loudly.
Any other comments?
Okay, well, just to wrap up then, what I'm hearing, the staff will try to prepare, try to find the most unbiased information that we can for the May meeting. I know my experience from looking into this briefly is it seems like if there's a group that tends to be for doing this kind of thing, the facts that they find tend to support that, and the opposite's true also. But we'll try, if that exists where there's pros and cons, we'll try to do our best to provide you with as much unbiased information as we can, so you can try to make an informed decision on whether we want to issue any sort of a statement as this body at all, if that's acceptable.
Any other comments or questions on that topic? Are there any questions or comments before we move for adjournment? The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you.